This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2262. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded September 26th, Austria, Brazil, Chile, China, Cuba, Germany, India, Indonesia, Japan, Korea South, Mexico, North America, Oklahoma, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Austria and non. There was a report this week that one of the antennas at Mosbrunn transmitter site in Austria was being dismantled. At first it was thought to be the one for 6155, which carries only a few minutes of Austria's own programming each day, but it turned out to be another one. However, there is much more to this. Tony Pavic says, according to an email from Reiner at Channel 292 in Germany, ORS, that's Austria, is to cease broadcasting at the end of the year due to economic reasons. No further details except a request to get any bookings in as soon as possible. Then Tony Rogers replies in the British DX Club. Christoph Rotzer posted this on the ADX list, originally in German. Since AWR is completely stopping its shortwave broadcast at the end of the year, as Jens Hofstadt of Radio Joystick reports, broadcasting in Mosbrunn will also be stopped at the end of the year. I reply, if this be true, a huge loss for shortwave, as Adventist World Radio has been a major broadcaster via many shortwave sites. Currently scheduled, in addition to Austria, via Uzbekistan, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, Tajikistan, Germany, Madagascar, and of course their very own shortwave station, KSDA on Guam. Can anyone confirm this info from AWR itself? This has led to lots of conflicting information as we're trying to find out what's really going on here. I checked the AWR.org website for the monthly message from the president of the organization for September. He does say, we will never give up, but he makes no mention of shortwave in particular. As Cameron in Michigan says, as someone interested in linguistics and religion, this is a huge loss. Adventists are very evangelistic, and this must be a huge decision for them. And Tony Pavic replies, a very good point I think international broadcasters ignore. The fact that AWR broadcasts in Urdu, Maasai, Jula, Malagasy, Takelchit, Akan, Meto, Igbo, etc. It's ridiculous to think that speakers of these languages all have access to cell phones and computers with internet to stream programming. Furthermore, to place programming in hands of local FM or medium-wave broadcasters places services at the whim of the political situation in any given region. Broadcasters are fascinated by this shiny, shiny toy that is the internet and streaming, and are blinded by it and forget that sometimes something simple like shortwave is really the most effective and far-reaching. Then on September 26th, Fibber, that is Christopher of the DRMNA group, says, a person on the phone at AWR said that shortwave closure reports online were untrue. They were unable to confirm Mosbrunn's specific closure, however. That's from 1-800-337-4AWR. Mark Haddam in UK points out, on the AWR.org website, they are advertising for jobs on Guam. And I don't see anything about this on their Facebook page. Joe's Jacob in India, who is an official AWR monitor, tells us, I saw in the WRTH Facebook page, reported by Mauno Ritola, according to AWR, all rented shortwave transmissions will stop already at the end of this broadcasting season, but Guam will continue. By this broadcasting season, that would be October 26th, and not December 31st. And Kai Ludwig in Germany says, I understand that the AWR shortwave output is coordinated at their offices in Germany. Concerning Mosbrunn, there would be two scenarios. Either AWR decides to abandon it, or ORS decides to finally close the facility and throw them out. All other broadcast industry customers already went away at the end of 2022. Brazil, Lucio Otavio Bobovic in Brazil reports a signal on 5035, September 18th between 2201 and 2327. The first just a carrier, very weak modulation via remote in Paraguay, but he then heard some modulation with music and Portuguese. So likely it's the reactivated Brazilian on 5035, Radio Educação Rural de Cori, Amazonas. It's previously scheduled to sign off at 2300. Rodolfi Grimm reports on 6205, some country music for long hours as early as 18 UT, September 18th or 19th. Heard there in southeastern Brazil, songs repeated periodically, and IDs as laser hot hits. That, of course, is a pirate in Ireland, but it was inaudible on remotes in Europe. Nor did their streaming match what he was hearing on 6205. So it looks like some pirate in Brazil or vicinity is on 6205, duplicating, at least by name, laser hot hits. Via AER in Spain, a report originally in French from Radio Magazine in Belgium about RCW in Chile, Radio Compañía Worldwide. It's a pirate relaying other stations which may not be pirates. It has two transmitter sites at Rodriguez Erduiza, which is activated lately with 150 watts maximum ERP, with an antenna covering the 90 through 41 meter bands. And the other site is at General Carrera with 1 kilowatt ERP on 49, 43, and 41 meters. Schedule is irregular, but approximately in UT from 20 until 0200 on 6925 and 7610. Last week, of course, we had the higher frequency at 7535. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo reports on Voice of Strait, Fuzhou, Fujian, China, monitored in Taiwan, changed its schedule in mid-September. They previously had a different schedule of programming on weekends, but now the same programs every day. Broadcasting hours reduced to 22:55 until 15 UT. On Wednesdays, it's only 3:55 to 15 due to maintenance. There are new programs for 8 hours and 25 minutes every day, and the rest of the time are repeats. High-power medium-wave frequencies are 666 and 783, also on 1296 kHz, and on shortwave, 4900 with 50 kilowatts, for limited hours in the evenings. Takahito says his own monitoring in Tokyo shows that 4900 signs on at 0845 and off at 1135. Terry Kruger in Florida found Radio Rebel de Cuba on a very strange frequency, one night only, 678 kHz, September 21st at 1108. Heterodyne stations on 680. Nothing listed in Cuba on 680, as tipped by Martin Fultz and David Crawford. Also heard by Bruce Conti in New Hampshire in the National Radio Club. Roger Velde unknown location at 0959, September 21st on 678, stronger than any of the on-channel Roger Velde stations. Parallel to 670, he says a one-night stand not found the following night. And Bruce Conti also reports that the situation on 890 of Radio Progreso in Cuba, September 18th at 0300, a strong signal on spurred audio with continuous spurs on 889 and 891, but also 888. Probably also on 892 blocked by interference, leads him to believe the spurs could be continuous 1 and 2 kHz tones in the audio rather than carriers. The only two Radio Havana Cuba frequencies I've been hearing lately are 6000 and 15230. September 24th at 0657, 6000 was still on the air with dead air, failing to turn the transmitter off earlier for their English service. Something's always wrong at RHC. And 15230 into the night with distorted and suppressed Spanish at 0315. September 22nd, also the China relay on 9790 was still on the air with a dead carrier at 0651, September 24th, the same time that 6000 had not been turned off. Andy, the engineer at shortwave radio from Vincent at the River Aller in Germany, tells me that they've resumed their autumn schedule, which results in one additional broadcast for World of Radio, resuming. That is Mondays at 0830 UT on 6160. That frequency now runs daily from 07 to 22 UT, while 3975 is on the air between 17 and midnight. That is, both of them on the air between 17 and 22. Here's another example of Akashvani, India, inserting an English segment into other language broadcasts, which is about the only way we can hear English, but not to be relied upon. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, on September 22nd, English started at 2005 UTL 9620 during the French service, and then back to French. Up on Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports the Voice of Indonesia on 4755.0, the Channel 1 English Hour at 13 UT, September 24th. Until 1350, but not very readable. He says, so why is the parallel frequency 3325 from Palangkaraya now routinely much weaker than Chimangas Jakarta on 4755? Ron heard RRI Nabiri Program 1 on 7289.93, September 25th, tuning in at 0827 until suddenly off the air at 0958. He says in this coming DX season, listeners in states east of California will probably have a chance at some decent reception. The most easily identified feature is the Islamic segment around 09 UT. However, there was no signal after 0815 September 26th. Sunset in Tokyo is finally early enough around 0830 UT for the carriers of Radio Nikkei to become audible here as early as 0620 UT, 6055 and 6115. Ron Howard forwards info from Hiroshi's MediaCat blog in Japan about the latest frequency changes of Shokuzei or Seabreeze about North Korean abductions from Japan. Change frequencies every month, whether necessary or not, to avoid interference. As of Wednesday, September 25th, 13 to 14 UT on 6040, which is clear in 6165 with some Chinese QRM, and repeated 16 UT on 5920 and 5955. As usual, there is English only on Wednesdays. Ron Howard also reports the clandestine from South to North Korea on 7340 National Unity Radio. It broadcasts, however, from Taiwan, Tuesday, September 24th at 1238, mostly in Korean, but this brief English segment, a quotation from George Eliot, "The strongest principle of growth lies in human choice." More to last week's report about the late Wolfman Jack reappearing on 1090 from Tijuana, XCPRS. An IRCA DX monitor, this from John Perkins in Alberta. Heard from midnight to 02 UT is the late Wolfman Jack, presumably the syndicated show produced after he died, but using original tapes spanning from the 1960s at XCRB to his own syndicated oldest show up to the time of his death in the mid-1990s. Sad news from New Zealand. Dan Goldfarb says, "I've known for many months that David Rickwish was gravely ill. I'm deeply saddened to hear of his death today, September 25th. Condolences to his family, who did so much to help David after his strokes." David Rickwish, that's R-I-C-Q-U-I-S-H. Ron Howard says he was PNG country editor for WRTH and with the Radio Heritage Foundation. "I first had the pleasure of corresponding with Dave back in 2013. Since then, he was especially helpful with ultra-wave matters related to Papua New Guinea. After his stroke in 2016, he was not very active, but still had a passion for info about PNG. He will be missed." Here's an unusual frequency for a North American pirate reported by Mark Taylor, Wisconsin, in the NASA flash sheet. 9315 USB. Bad Cat Radio. September 20th at 2346 with a program of Tom Petty music. It went off the air at midnight 59, September 21st. Ikari FM, that pirate just across the border in Mexico from Arizona, is reported various times during the day by Rick Barton in Arizona on 11515, or actually 11514.9, such as September 23rd at 2030, with tunes and IDs in English, September 20th at 2210, and September 25th at 1800. Oklahoma City was hit by a severe hailstorm on September 24th, up to baseball size. While this was happening, our PBS station OETA lost its feed from the network for 20 minutes at 2320 UT. I could just imagine their satellite dish full of hailstones. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2262. A non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for support from Chris Campbell in Ohio, who sent a box of receivers and other equipment to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, where you may also send a check or money order, or via PayPal to WORADIO Russianlanguage@yahoo.com. Russian language has been showing up on some strange unlisted frequencies, apparently due to that pirate or not music wave radio. Mark Haddam in Cornwall reports on 17770, Russian from TuneIn at 10:50 UT, September 22nd, with Radiostantsiya Mayak IDs at 1204 and 1208. Mixture of Russian songs, folk, and talk. But not parallel the real Radio Mayak web stream. Dave Kenny says, same heard on various remotes around Europe until 1400, when blocked by Voice of Turkey in Arabic. Audio a bit distorted. Perhaps they're testing a transmitter. And then Mark says, I did hear Music Wave Radio on 17700, Monday night, September, from TuneIn at 1405 until end of transmission abruptly at 1450. And there was something on 17700 also today, but even weaker. So I guess there are two frequencies involved rather than one of them being a typo. Then also in the British DS Club, Tony Rogers says, I came across a station in Russian on 15235 at 1715 UT, 24 September, a program about radio transmission facilities in Armenia and mentioning old Soviet technology. Off at 1720 with a version of the familiar Radio Moscow interval signal, a bit distorted, perhaps music wave radio or someone else testing another frequency. Newsletter of the Association for International Broadcasting says, Russia's Interior Ministry has put award-winning CNN journalist Nick Peyton Walsh on its wanted list for reporting from the Kursk region of the country taken by Ukraine in its surprise incursion across the border. Saudi Arabia's 11935 transmitter, carrying the Yemen service, continues to be hit by severe chirping, presumably jamming from Iran. On September 24th, Wolfgang Büschel says, 11936.173, a wobbling carrier from the Yemen exile radio into the Qatar remote. At 1520 UT, hit heavily by probably Iranian jamming, wideband 23 kHz up to 11959.4 from the Sirjan transmitter site. Walt Salmaniv in BC replies, I see and hear the same very strong at 2056. The chirping extends up to 11955. But suddenly gone at 20:57:45. Using the remote in Cyprus, Saharis Langas in Greece says, on September 25th, clearly a carrier shifting upwards to around 8 or 9 kHz. Modulation dissipates in proportion with the carrier to a maximum length of 18 kHz, reaching to around 11952. Spectrum analyzer shows the lower sideband has less modulation than the upper. My monitoring of Voice of Turkey at 22 UT in English, a few hertz above 11785, either direct or via the remote in Holland. Something's always awry in Ankara or erroneous at Emirlehir. On September 20th, their clock must have been set fast because they were already signing on a minute before 2200. On Sunday, September 22nd, they did not close before 2300 but stayed on the air another full hour for German, which is not supposed to be on shortwave at this time. Off just before another full hour of Portuguese would have started at midnight UT. On September 23rd, they came on for about a minute, but nothing further. At sign-on and sign-off, this transmission is almost always announced as if it were the 12:30 broadcast on 17620. September 20th at 1511, on 17745, I encountered a 19-second announcement with music from BBC. It would loop and repeat every 36 seconds. This is the BBC. There are no programmings on this channel at present. Details of all our services are at bbcworldservice.com. I say lots of luck finding anything about this there. A very strong signal into the Dutch remote, and this kept going past 1530 and even past 16 UT. According to listings, on weekdays, this is during a sesquihour pause between two other BBC transmissions, Somali until 1500 via UAE, and Kinyarwanda starting at 1630 via Madagascar. From this reception, I suspect it was Madagascar, but why waste all those 250 kilowatts? Terry Kruger refers us to a story in The Aviationist, dated September 22nd. 193rd Special Operations Wing says farewell to the unique EC-130J Commando Solo 3 fleet. They were operated by PSYOPs to broadcast messages on AM, FM, HF, and TV. They saw use during operations Urgent Fury, Just Cause, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, Unified Protector, and Inherent Resolve, among many others. Also for the 2010 Haiti earthquake. It broadcast its final message at Lancaster Airport Community Days Air Show in Pennsylvania 2 years ago. The airplanes were easily recognizable by their large X-shaped antennas on the tail. David Cole in Oklahoma Ford's an opinion piece from the Washington Post of September 23rd, How America Can Defeat the World's Most Formidable Information Warrior. The PRC is increasingly controlling global narratives and silencing critics. It's by Amanda Bennett, CEO of the U.S. Agency for Global Media. She begins, The United States is not yet losing the global information war, but we soon will be, unless we act quickly and make the most of our strengths. And she concludes, What can we do? Republicans and Democrats are working together to craft bills that would, for a relatively modest sum, equip us to upgrade info technology, find the best content creators, reach the digital influencers who spread content, and support the efforts of USAGM's Open Technology Fund to help create and develop technologies that enable us to reach citizens locked in closed media environments. As expected, a critical reply soon came from Dan Robinson, ex-VOA. He says USAGM has used the China disinformation issue and claims of USAGM successes as a cudgel to persuade members of Congress to ignore serious management missteps in recent years, including the posting of anti-Israel pro-Hamas images by VOA staff members, which came up during the congressional hearing several months ago. The agency wants Congress to keep the money flow going and is heavily lobbying members to restore millions cut from the budget by Republicans upset about how the agency is being run, though Bennett and others have told employees that top managers are not to be blamed. So says Dan Robinson. Then Walt Somenive, a proud Canadian, replies, Dan, I would argue that the cuts imposed by the Republicans have nothing to do with their being unhappy with how the USAGM is run, but rather a fundamental dislike of anything that is publicly funded. Now some U.S. medium wave notes. 660 KTNN, the Navajo station in Arizona, Window Rock, is being heard toward the east, surely indicating that they're running their non-directional day pattern instead of protecting WFAN New York. I was hearing it September 21st and 25th before and after 07UT. Especially at 0707, they were running Navajo chanting and drumming, which we really like to hear on medium wave. In the world of radio group, we've had a discussion about major AM stations identifying only as FM stations. Bill Tilford says for eons, WBBM News Radio 78 has been an AM staple in Metro Chicago and beyond as one of the few true all-news channels in the market. In recent years, it added FM 105.9, and the IDs mentioned both. Lately, while listening in the car, gotta get that in while we still can, huh? Even though I'm listening to AM 780, the IDs only mention 105.9 FM. Is this an omen, or someone just being lazy? We shall see. I reply, I've noticed that too. WBBM has made some transmitter site changes for 780, so it must still be worth some trouble to them. Bill replies, unless it is spiffing things up, hoping to flip it. Hope not. Last thing Chicago needs is another sports talk channel. K2DCD Dennis says, KYW News Radio 1060 was forever the jingle in Philadelphia. Now, just like WBBM, they only announce the FM frequency of 103.9, which is actually WPHI. Bill says, what's the game here? Eventual phase-out of the AM, or some arcane shenanigans vis-a-vis the FCC about which is the primary? Stephen Luce in Houston replies, the stations have determined that most listeners are on the FM side, so that is the branding. Does not mean AM is going away anytime soon. Long-time listeners know where to find the AM signal if they are out of range of FM. Greg Harson replies, it's strictly marketing. They only care about the ratings, as many listeners as possible, crowing credit for the frequency of choice, which for many Odyssey news stations is the FM side. Also 97.1 KNX in Los Angeles. By the way, at 0704 UT September 24th, I was hearing both 1060 KYW Philadelphia and 1070 KNX Los Angeles at the same time, coast to coast, 2,388 miles apart. Ben Dawson reports, one of Oregon's oldest radio stations, KYVL, originally KMED, has now had its license terminated. It operated on 1440 kHz with surprisingly good nighttime coverage, protected because of its age dating from 1922. Its most recent leased transmitter site was sold for some sort of development in Medford. Here's an update to our original breaking news about Adventist World Radio ceasing shortwave, at least via Austria, from Kai Lutisch in Germany. Probably next week some further word from Vienna, but at this point it already appears to be pretty obvious. They received suddenly and unexpectedly the cancellation from AWR. It looks like a decision AWR took at short notice, in a hardly coherent way, even reverting some of it within hours by bringing ahead the closure 2 months. Makes me really wonder what's going on at Silver Spring. This does not look like strategic planning, rather like panic. I'd like to recommend a TV series which we get on the Create channel from PBS via OETA. It's called In the Americas with David Yetman, Yetman, an excellent 27-minute series. And it seems that, in addition to the one time it airs in Oklahoma, all 10 seasons of episodes may be viewed via the website. Look through the topics which may interest you especially at intheamericas.org/episodes. Radio Vanuatu continues to be heard on 7260 before 0700. I at least notice a carrier every night. Ron Howard in California reports on September 26th at 0630. There were public service messages in French and English, not in Bislama, regarding the administration of the estate of a person who died in April 2023. This frequency always cuts off. It must be controlled by a timer at exactly 23 seconds past 0658. A few seconds later, they switched to 3945, which even in California was unusable that early. I've been meaning to refer you to an excellent report on the April 8th solar eclipse insofar as medium wave DX from Sylvain Nau in Quebec. Unique event DX-wise, he says, among 25 states and provinces, 225 stations were identified, including 28 daytimers, and he got 49 audio clips. The farthest station was WSDZ 1260 in Belleville, Illinois, 1734 kilometers away. Look for 2024 solar eclipse at his website, www.quebecdx.com. Some food for thought from Kari Kallio in Finland. The discovery of an invisible radio wave has been one of humanity's greatest inventions, making it possible to communicate wirelessly even to the other side of the horizon. Radio is definitely in the top 10 inventions made by mankind on my list. Why has modern man wanted it to fade into the background, even to a lesser extent? Concrete and dynamite will always maintain their position against the test of time. The same applies to the use of radio waves in communication. The propagation outlook from SWPC, ANK indices peaking at 10 and 4 October 5th and 6th, 20 and 5 on October 11th, with G1 minor storming possible. Solar flux rising from 160 September 26th to a peak of 190 October 4th to 6th, and down to 165 by October 19th. Consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.com, with many thanks to all our contributors and stations. Hoping you'll hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2262 with a standard disclaimer.